Word. Well, you join me this morning. We're going to be today in Mark chapter 14. And we're going to be dealing with two verses this morning. Mark chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. Two verses mean shorter sermon, right? No. We'll see today. We'll see if we can break a record. We'll see if we can get out of here less than an hour today. Or 2 hours. 3 hours. Let me read God's word to you this morning, starting at verse 10. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought an opportunity to betray him. Let's ask the Lord to help us with these two verses. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come back in the Gospel of Mark. How you're teaching us, Lord, about you. You're teaching us about ourselves, Lord. You're teaching us, Lord, all these things you're teaching us, Lord. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to allow us, Lord, to just embrace these truths this morning. And all the things you're giving to us this morning for us, Lord, to see who we are before you. And that... Not just Judas, Lord, but we are very similar to Judas in many ways. So let us not this morning, Lord, just point to Judas and point to unbelievers in the world. But let us see that, Lord, only by God's grace, Lord, we get heaven and get Christ. Only by his grace. That we can't boast upon anything but Christ. Lord, this week, Lord, we all have sinned, Lord. We all have done things that have betrayed you, Lord, this past week. So let us come to the test today in humility and eager, Lord, to be able to see that you are holy and you're righteous, Lord, and you're glorious. And that, Lord, we are people, Lord, that are daily going astray. But, Lord, in your goodness, Lord, you give us your Holy Spirit to keep us. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to help us through this today, Lord, this word. Equip us, Lord. Edify your church this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Normally in movies... We always see in certain movies, they always have a villain. We call it the bad guy. One thing we always notice about the bad guys, they always have something in common. They're always pretty prideful. They think they know what's best. A lot of them want to take over the world. Or someone want to take things from the world. For example, in the movie Lion King, I guess I like using Lion King, right? We have a lion named Scar. For him, being in the kingdom with his brother is just not enough. He want to rule the kingdom. He is pictured with dark hair. He got a scar on his face and all this characteristic. He's very prideful in what he do. And he think he know what's best. His brother's not running the kingdom better, not running the kingdom right. And for him is that he think he know what's best. So what he's going to do? What he do to his brother? He betrays his brother. Not only him. You guys know the movie Batman. With Batman trying to put out the fires and trying to make things and trying to put out all the dangers around the city of Gotham? Yes. Gotham. And next thing you know, we have a guy named Joker. The bad guy. Think he knows what's best. Want to get back at people. Keep going with this. Guess I'm liking my movies on it. What about the movie The Avengers with Thanos? For him, he was already ruling other world. He was there already ruling. For him, it wasn't enough. He wanted to rule over what? Everything. You notice about these people? They're prideful. It doesn't stop for them. They want to continue going. All these villains have one thing in common. They want authority over everything and they want freedom. They want authority. They want a freedom that they don't want to have to submit to anybody. Every single one of them. This is the identical picture in Genesis and throughout the history of the world. Mankind. Little Emray. That mankind wants their freedom. They don't want to submit to a holy, righteous God. It comes from the fall. All the way back with Satan. He didn't want to submit to God. And it came here on earth. And it continued going. And people are shocked right now all over the news. They are shocked like nobody want to listen to authority anymore. Are we surprised as Christians? We're not surprised. When you give man a man off and man is able to live and be their own autonomous in the sense of ruling over everything they have as a child, this is the results we get in our world. We shouldn't be surprised to be able to see all this chaos and killing and things of that nature because mankind want to do what mankind want to do. Prideful. Today, we will see the jealousy, we will see the pride, and we see the same picture that we see all the way throughout creation. And also all those villains I just mentioned with Joker, Thanos, and Scar, we will see also with Judas. Not wanting Christ to rule over him. We're going to do it with 3 points this morning. The 3 points we're going to give is on the back of your program if you have one. The title is going to be Judas Set to Betray the Savior. And the 3 points are going to be what Judas seeks to betray Christ. Verse 10. Judas betrays Jesus for worldly applause. Point number two. And point number three. Judas waits for an opportunity to trap Jesus. So join me in point number one. Judas seeks to betray Christ. Look at verse 10 with me if you have your Bibles. Then Judas Iscariot was one of the 12. Well, last week we were introduced the disciple who will betray him during the time of the Passover. And we find out that this disciple is actually going to be Judas. The first time we hear Judas is in Mark chapter 3, verse 19. And if we remember, that was the same text in which Jesus introduced the rest of the disciples. We learned about the first few disciples in Mark 1. Many of the first disciples, we told, they was who first? They was followers of John the Baptist. So Judas was part of this first set of 12 disciples. But he wasn't part of the first 4 disciples, which we know were the first one that Jesus called first. The first 4 we see in Mark 1, how these disciples were out fishing, and Jesus told them to follow him. James, the son of James and John, the son of Zebedee. They left their father in the boat. Was the father alone and left in the boat? No, it was the servants. So they left the servants and they left their father to follow Jesus. To be the disciple, you have to leave things behind, right? We see that. It tells us in verse 10 in our text, who was one of the 12, Judas. Judas, you have to leave things behind. To follow Jesus, we must leave things behind. Amen. So, not sure why Jesus called them right here while they was fishing. Jesus could have called them any places, any time in their life, right? Why would he call them while they was out there catching some good crappie, a bream? He could have called them away while they was at home, while they was eating dinner. But Jesus called them during this special time of the day. When the fishermen go out to fish, they're not going out there for leisure time. And our people, we have people that go out fishing for the leisure time. I know a guy named Jerry. A lot of time he go out fishing for leisure time. When he get out of work, have a long week, he go out fishing. After having a long, difficult day at work, some people were, hey, let me step away and let me go fishing. I just want to get away. Somebody made me upset. Let me go get away and fish. I want a sense of peace when I go out to the lake. But what about these disciples here? It's a little bit different from them and us. For us, if we don't catch anything out fishing, what happened? We go right to the store and we buy fish. But in the first century, it's a little bit easier. They just couldn't go to the store. They would go to the market. They could go. They didn't have fish and everything at leisure at their disposal by just going to the market every single day. A lot of them couldn't afford it. So if a lot of them didn't go fishing, many would not have anything to eat. For these disciples to leave what was need for provision for their families. So they was out casting a net to follow. They was out casting a net with their father to bring in food for family, to make the sale thing. There was the provision. There was what they would use to be able to provide for their families, and they leave it all behind. It clearly shows us that it's something about Jesus so great that I'm gonna leave casting this net behind to follow Christ. The disciples did continue to provide for their family, but Jesus took the priority for them. Not only James and John, but every single disciple we see and mentioned in Mark 3, which are the 12 disciples, all had to leave things behind to follow Jesus. Today we have this easy believism. We go up and say, I believe in Jesus, died on the cross for my sins, but don't leave anything behind. Take it all with them. Take all the idols with them. I can love God and I can love my idols. But Jesus told the disciples to follow me. You must leave things around. Look at Nathaniel in John 1. Look at Philip in John 1. Look at Philip and Nathaniel. Both of them willing to follow Jesus. To be a disciple is to be a follower of the great teacher. And the disciples left things to follow Christ, to be a part of this visible Christ-like community. You leave things behind to take upon a new identity. The personal desires of the world are also what the disciples leave behind to follow Jesus. So to be the disciple, you have to leave things behind. Well, can I kind of take it with me? Can I put it on the back of the trailer? It's not with me, kind of like behind me. We want to bring it with us, don't we? And Jesus said, you have to leave it. Another thing we notice about these disciples, they were also called apostles too. The apostles come from the Greek word apostolos, which means sent out ones. The disciples are called the sent out one because Jesus sends them out into the world to teach and tell others about him. This telling and teaching is not just throwing out information or doing a couple posts on Facebook. This is not information that we throw out, but to teach them and model them the life of Christ on how we live and when we go out into the world. We are to live out our faith with a new identity in Christ. If you're a proudful person, when you follow Christ, now you resemble the humility of Christ. You can say you follow Jesus all day long. You can convince me. You can say it to me. You can say all the right things. But God cannot be fooled. If you truly follow Jesus, you leave these things behind, people. So we can sum up right here. First, let me say this. This is impossible apart from the Holy Spirit being the work in our lives. If you truly follow Jesus, leaving things behind, the Spirit of God is working in your life. A lot of time we limit the Holy Spirit when we clap our hand and tap our feet. We get up and the Spirit is moving. We bounce around, running down the aisle and everything in the church. But normally, probably 99% of the cases are the Spirit working in our life and how we love one another. How we rebuke one another in love. How we care for one another. For a dying to self. That's the Spirit of God working in you. You want to see the Spirit of God working in you? Tell the truth. You want to see the Spirit of God working in you? Obey your parents, kids. You want to see the Spirit of God working you? Obey your boss at work. That's the Spirit of God. So we can sum up the true disciple. They are guided by the Spirit of God. They are to leave the carnal life behind and live a new life in submission to Christ alone. When Jesus called these disciples, outwardly it seems as if the Spirit had officially called all of them, right? It looked like when he called them, the 12 came to follow him. Because there's no way we can conform to the person of Christ apart from the Holy Spirit. So God calls them, they come to him. The disciples' lives are transformed. Our lives are transformed. So even though the disciples are in a fallen world, they still should imitate Christ, right? If they are truly called by Christ, they should imitate Christ. But when they fail in imitating Christ at times, Christ is there to care for them. The Spirit is there to remind them of truth. But if they're willing to pervert grace and not follow Christ, and they say they are a follower of Christ, they're not a true follower of Christ. Judas' selfish heart was seen last week when he led other Jewish people to rebuke Mary for anointing Jesus with expensive oil. So we ask the question, how can a disciple who's supposed to be called by Christ through the power of the Spirit, right, plot deceitfully to get ointment from Mary before she anoints Christ? If Judas is truly called by Christ, right, if he's a true believer, how can he betray Jesus? Not only that, how can he make fun of another sister in Christ, Mary? If you're a true believer, Judas, could this just be a mistake from his disciples? Did Judas just make a mistake? Should we just look over Judas' shortcomings? Let's just look over it. We all sin. It's fine. Judas sinned. He's been called by Christ. Let's just move on. We all make a mistake. Whoever sinned first sin, cast the first stone. We throw all these things out in our society. So Judas, could Judas just make a mistake? If he's truly in Christ, his heart is repentant of plotting against Mary last week. He just plotted against Mary, so Judas' heart is repentant. Now he's finna live for Christ. Because the Spirit of God is truly works. What does the Spirit of God does? It tells us in John 15, 26, 27. But when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, who will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. The Spirit will remind us to bear witness of Christ. So the Spirit of God is moving in us. It bears witness of Christ. So let's be clear. Judas has already shown signs of his heart in the past. He already shown that who he was in the past. Let's just skip over that. So let's see further about Judas. He made a mistake. But let's read the rest of that verse. Verse 10. Went to the chief priest in order to betray him to them. Wow. It just happened with Mary. But now it seems like he's betraying Christ. Mark, who writes the gospel of Mark, from the theologian, theologian has said that this is Peter's record. He tells us that's his. Mark tells us this. He tells that Judas went to the chief priest to betray Christ. Come on, Judas. Judas didn't just go to Jesus' mother. Judas didn't go to Jesus' mother. He didn't go to Jesus' brother. He didn't even go to the Samaritan woman. Who did Judas go to? He go to the chief priest. The chief priest would be the one, the leader of the Sanhedrin. The men of the 70. He go to the ones that would actually run Israel. He go to the leaders. The one that despises Christ. So pretty much Judah went to the leaders in the Jewish community who already been trying to trap Jesus. So he went to them to trap Jesus. He didn't go to somebody that was on the side that might have Jesus stepped on their toe or something. He went to the ones that already wanted him dead. The priest didn't like Christ because they wanted to continue living in sin. So the priest already wanted to kill Jesus. And now we see here that Judas go to them and despise Christ and try to betray him. So I ask the question again, people. How can a true follower of Christ betray the ones he come to save? The one that come to save them. How can a true follower of Christ betray the one that comes to save them? When Jesus told Peter to cast out his net for a catch. You guys remember that in Luke? When Peter and them, they was catching, trying to fish all day. They couldn't catch anything. Jesus said, cast out your net for a catch. When they cast their net out, they caught more fish than they ever caught in their life. Not even that. Every single picture of Jesus' faithfulness to them, he has been faithful. He provided for them to catch that fish, Peter and his brother Andrew. But all throughout Jesus' ministry, he has shown fidelity and faithfulness. So where did it go wrong at for Judas to say, I can't trust this Christ anymore? What did Jesus do? Nothing that Jesus has done that will get off any way that he is a terrible friend or leader. What has he done to prove that he's a terrible leader? Has he done anything? Does Judas have the right and a way of justification for him to betray Jesus? Since Jesus is perfect in all his ways, this betrayal cannot be justified. Judas was not thinking true justice. He was thinking deceit. His heart is for himself. He didn't want Mary using the ointment so he could also keep monetary profit for himself. Judas is showing us his heart. So again, to be called by Christ is only by the Holy Spirit. So does Judas have the Holy Spirit in him? Effectual call is the picture that God effectually calls us to himself. So what about Judas here? Is he not effectually called? How can Judas be called by Christ but still reject Christ? By Judas' betrayal, does that mean that Judas walked away from Christ? Can you just walk away from the faith if you don't want it anymore? You're not a believer anymore? Or does this mean that Judas was never part of the faith from the get-go? I would say for the first question I said, did Judas walk away from the faith to betray Jesus? I would say no. I would say Judas didn't walk away from the faith to betray Jesus. Even though Jesus called them, we see in our text, it says Jesus called his disciples. We see a little bit of difference here when Ephesians 1. When Paul said the Lord chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be blameless before him. Only way it's possible for us to be blameless through the perfect sacrificial life of Christ. That's the only way to be blameless. So those who are chosen by Christ are redeemed by Christ. Their sins are atoned for. They are perfect before God. Not because of their own ability or their own strength, but only by the perfect work of Christ. This choosing is a special, effectual, only call for believers. So only way we know if the call for the disciples is effectual is the obedience towards him. So even though Jesus told Judas to follow him, and we don't really know the occasion all in detail of what happened and brought about Judas following Jesus. But we see that right here, though, is that there was more of an outgoing call and a generic call. But how do we know Judas was a true believer? If he actually obeyed Christ and throughout his life. So if you're truly called by Christ in a salvific way, you're going to obey Christ. So this call for the disciples, yes, they came to follow him. Jesus commanded them to do it. But for those who follow him and continue to obey him, they proved that they were true believers from the beginning of the world. This is seen with James, John, Peter, Andrew, Nathaniel, and Philip. They all display obedience to Christ and their call to follow him. Look at the book of Acts 2. Peter is on fire for God. Look at Philip. Even Thomas, when he doubted, he came out and said the most beautiful words in the whole scriptures. My Lord, my God. My Lord, my God. And that word Lord is actually the word we know in Hebrew as Yahweh. He uses strong terminology saying that this Jesus is truly God. Thomas said this in his doubt. Doubtful Thomas said this. We can go through all these disciples apart from Judas. We can see the fruits of the Spirit. The gospel writers do not tell us about the obedience of Judas. We don't have any record of an act of obedience in Judas nowhere in the scriptures and in the gospel of Mark. We see Judas is selfish. His selfishness. Every time Judas is introduced with a verse, it reveals his selfishness. Almost every record of him. If the Spirit of God is here to teach us and guide us into walking in the ways of Christ, why is Judas not looking like a true believer? Because the Spirit of God is not in him. This brings us to the second question. Does this mean Judas was never part of the faith? Absolutely. Judas was called in a general way to follow Christ. Even though he was with Christ, he didn't let his selfishness, jealousy, anger, and pride go. Mm-hmm. When Jesus said, leave everything behind to follow me. Everything behind to follow me. Judas wasn't ready for that. Judas brought everything with him. If he was a true believer, which only can happen by God effectually calling us, that being he would deny self and follow Christ and worship Christ alone and not self. Judas is worshiping self. So what about us this morning? Are we truly following Christ? Well, we know Judas is not following Christ. But for us, we're here on Sunday morning. We love Jesus. We walked down the aisle. We got baptized. We said all the right things. Of course, we got t-shirts that say Jesus loves me. But are we truly following Christ? Not just Sunday morning. Every single day of our lives, where is our allegiance at? Truly following Christ is not limited to just wearing a t-shirt or a pullover saying I love Jesus, but true, a follower of Christ have a life of repentance, a life of Jesus Christ alone. If you are here on a Sunday morning and living a life that's contrary to the gospel, you might just be a Judas. It's scary to say that. You just might be a Judas. And acting like you're really for Christ, but you're not. You come here for friendships. You come here just to hang out. Could that be the case? So let us not be arrogant this morning and say, Judas, why you did this? And I can be honest, all of us in our part of our lives have looked like Judas before. Every single one of us. We have looked like Judas before. But only by God's grace, only by God's grace, our past life was nailed to the cross. Only by his grace. It brings to our second point. Judas betrayed Jesus for worldly applause. Verse 11. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. After the chief priests and leaders heard of the betrayal of Jesus, they were glad and promised him a reward of money. The entire council of the Sanhedrin probably was meeting with Judas when Judas came. I mean, they probably been waiting forever for this. They probably called everybody, hey, everybody come in. One of Jesus' disciples here, he's going to give this Jesus over to us. I'm pretty sure the room was full of those that wanted to ask you to put Jesus to death. And these adversaries of Christ was able to give Judas something that Jesus wasn't able to give him. Something that Judas wanted from Jesus he couldn't get, so he went to the world to get it. Sound familiar, doesn't it? What did the world give him that Jesus didn't give him? They gave him the attention he wanted. They gave him the attention. You remember Jesus' rebuke last week of Judas and other Jews. Jesus said, why do you all trouble her? Jesus said, why do you trouble her? In the English, you see in your Bible, the word you is singular, but it's not. It's actually a plural. It's actually you all. It's talking about, why do you all, sir, trouble her? Just talking about Mary. Referring to all those that opposed the servant act of Mary. Everyone that opposed it. So Judas gets the approval of others aside of Christ. And Judas leaves them last week to betray, in a sense of the belittle Mary. And Judas take other leaders with him to betray. And actually, I think they're in the house of Simon the leper. But here today, he gets the attention from the Jewish leader that he wanted from Christ and his disciples. You guys remember the picture? The mother came to Jesus and said, can my son sit on the throne with you? You guys remember that? Judas is right there with him. He heard that. For him, he wanted the throne. He wanted to sit up there. Judas won't throw certain things his entire life. When we come to the knowledge of knowing Christ, it's all satisfying. We do things like Mary and not like Judas. We serve Christ with a pure heart. We deny ourselves a desire and bear the fruits of the Spirit. When the Jews didn't see the servant heart of Mary, Mary didn't seek their approval and stop serving Christ, but continue to honor Christ and not worrying about what people think about her. What if Mary would have stopped and said, "What people think about me? Let me stop doing this." Mary continued to serve Christ even when Judas and all the rest of the Jews made fun of her. She continued to serve Christ. She didn't worry about what people thought of her in that moment. Think about it. Mary could have got a chance to sit at the high table then. These were Jewish leaders, probably, in Simon Leper's house. Mary could have betrayed Christ and said, "You guys are right. You guys are right. I'm on your side." But Mary continued to be faithful. But look what happened with Judas. He showed his unfaithfulness. As Christians today, rather deny Christ to fit in the world. Christians today are ready quickly to ready deny Christ to fit into the desires of the world. Amen. When the world praises immorality, many Christians not wanting to feel weird also praise immorality. I don't want to be weird. So I want to give in to sin and so I can fit in with the world. It makes us glad, doesn't it? Because it made Judas glad. It made the people glad. For example, families like mine. 5 little kids. The world despises that now. Isn't that too many kids? Isn't that too many kids when God said be fruitful and multiply and the world down, even family with kids these days? It's like, is this so backwards today in our society? A young man, a young girl in high school want to live a life of purity they're made fun of. Everything is backwards. To fit in, you got the bread and boast. I got this girl number. I got that girl number. I'm doing all this thing to fit in into the world. It makes us glad. It makes those people around us glad, isn't it? The world is glad, just like the Jews, when we betray Christ. As you think you're having fun and fitting in the world, you're not obeying Christ. You're obeying the God of the Antichrist of the world. And just what Judas did here. When believers settle for the approval from the world will give us what we want. If you want the world is going to give you everything you want. Young men and young ladies, I say it again. You seeking out there a man or a young girl, you seeking out the world's going to give it to you eventually. It's going to give you exactly what you want so you can die and go to hell. But not only this. The Jews were glad, but they also promised to give him money. By betraying Christ, Judas is given a reward. Matthew tells us the amount of the reward. Matthew 26:15, the parallel text. And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. Which is about probably 4 months' wages, probably if he was dealing with denarii. But we don't know what type of money system is dealing with here. It just says silver. One commentary says this. Judas was offering his service as a witness against Jesus. When he would be brought to trial, he would do anything to gain more money. The offer was made in a chain for fun, probably paid out immediately to Judas. The 30 silver coin were the redemption price paid for a slave in Exodus 21:32. Could that be the possibility? Could this in the sense of that thinking of the Old Testament here? This same amount was also prophesied as the price for the service of the rejected shepherd in Zechariah 11:12. So Judas sells out Christ for a selfish reward. Judas only worried about Judas. Judas is money hungry. He was worrying about expensive ointment last week, right? Now he's looking for money from the Jewish leaders. He was upset about the whole thing with the ointment because the ointment was very expensive. Because he didn't want to keep the bag. He wanted to keep the money for himself. By her using the oil, he could have flipped that and made more money. He's money hungry. So not only do the worldly approval make the world be glad, but also we also get treasures from this world. Judas got a treasure of silver. 30 pieces of silver. And guess what? We get treasures too. We get all the worldly treasures. In Christian hip hop now, we have seen so many Christian rap artists begin their career not looking for worldly approval. But when they start getting some invites to worldly artists, many of them let go of biblical fidelity for worldly treasures. You want that attention? You want it? The world is waiting to give it to you. One thing about following the world will praise you and will give you everything your heart desires. The world will give it to you. Many Christians think it's a blessing. The Lord gave me these things. The Lord gave me all this. It's a blessing. But it's actually a judgment to lead us white from Christ. This is actual judgment. If you don't believe me, it's a spare time. Read Psalm 73. God was able to give the disobedience, that self-desire, was actually a judgment on them. Since you don't want me, you want idols, I'm going to give you your idols. Yeah. Since you are seeking out the unhealthy relationship, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give exactly what you want so you can be punished by me. That is scary. When God gives us a heart desire, carnal heart desire, that is scary. Not only did we see this in Romans 1. When God gives them over to their reprobate ways, God just gives them over to it. The worst thing we can do as a parent is not discipline our child and let them just run away wildly. That's not love, is it? You just let them run away with it. This is what God is doing here. He's letting people run away in their reprobate ways. Since you don't want me, I'm going to let you get exactly what you want. You're fooling me. You're fooling God. God don't know these things. Nobody knows these certain things. But no, God is the one that gave it to you. Judas is not winning, but he's actually losing. He thinks he's winning in this. He thinks he's winning by getting all this money. He thinks he's winning in this. Judas has been led by the same Antichrist spirit all the way from Genesis 3:15 with the seed of that serpent. Satan wants the approvals of others. He wanted it in the throne. When God was in heaven, when he was out in heaven with God, he wanted to be over God. He wanted the approval. Adam and Eve wanted the approval in the garden. We can go all the way through this timeline. Mankind want the approval of man. Mankind want actually to be worshipped and be praised over and over and over. And I tell you what, if you say it's not your heart this morning, you are being deceived. You're going to fight it for the rest of your life. Your heart and your mind, your heart and your personality, you want to be worshipped. You want to be around people. All those things are going to go in your life for the rest of your life. You're going to have to fight it to the end. And everyone that opposes Christ seeks the approvals of others. And all of them are rewarded with their carnal desires. Jesus' love for his disciples is followed up by a betrayal of a friend. He loves them, but a friend betrays him. Brings our last point. Judas waits for an opportunity to trap Jesus. Look at the last point, 11b. And he sought an opportunity to betray him. When Judas saw the praises of men and the monetary gain, it was enough for him to betray Christ. Judas didn't waste any time after seeing the worldly benefits he got for betraying Jesus. He didn't waste any time. And Judas does not stop here. He seeks for an opportunity to betray Christ. One says this right here. So Judas was seeking the right opportunity without presence of a crowd to hand him over into their custody. It seems like when you sin one time, you got to keep sinning. Jews didn't want to mess up this opportunity. He finna get that paper. He finna get that bread. He didn't want to mess this up. He was already given the silver, so he had to go through with this plan. They was already given, so he got to go through it with it now. We already see Judas himself as money hungry, and now we're about to see that he's just nothing but a snake. He have to now sit back and observe Christ to figure out his next move to give the signals to the priest. It's time to betray him. So he already did everything. Now he's sitting back waiting for the right opportunity for him. When someone is following desires of the flesh, isn't any limits on what mankind are capable of? Judas has to continue sinning against God at every decision he makes now since he started. He got to continue sinning to keep this up. It's never ending for him. He betrayed him. He want money. It just doesn't stop. This timeline continue going. Once you lie once, you got to keep lying, they say. If the heart is selfish, it will continue doing selfish things. So we shouldn't be surprised after seeing what he did to Mary. He doesn't stop. It says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful, wicked, above all things, and desperately sick. Who can understand it? The heart is wicked. As I wrap up things today, again, this wickedness that we see in Judas, the deceitfulness in Judas, how Christ has loved him. This was us. This was us, people. We were seeking the things of this world. We were seeking the approvals of this world. Until Christ miraculously loved us and saved us. Our hearts were wicked, seeking after the desires of the flesh. We was not seeking Christ. We were seeking our idols. One relationship to the next relationship. Money, cars. We were seeking all these certain things in the world. We were just like Judas. We was willing to betray anybody to get our own selfish desires. We wanted other things more than Christ to fulfill the desires of the flesh. Paul tells us what the desires of the flesh are. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit. The desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Verse 18 in Galatians 5. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not enter the kingdom of God. For those who are like Judas and seek the desires of the flesh, heaven is not for you. You will not make it to the kingdom of God by continuing living in sin and by continually betraying Christ. But for those who are submitting to Christ, know what we have done to a holy God, have repented, and have put our faith in Jesus Christ. We are made new. We have the Spirit of God is working in us. They are sanctifying. It's making us right with God. We desire to bear the fruits of the Spirit. Those are true believers. I'm past all this. Everybody in Round Palm Bluff said, I'm a believer of Jesus. Bless you today. I love you today and all these certain things. My thing is, are you going to live for Christ? Amen. Are you going to truly live for Christ? Amen. Let's stop all this talking and seeing that, are we truly committed to Christ? All this talking and still disobeying Christ is not going to do anything but lead you straight to hell. But if you're truly in Christ, you live a life that's honoring to him and all that we do. The betrayal of Judas shouldn't be anything different from us betraying Christ. When we lie, when we gossip, when we gluttony, anger, and all forms of sin, we are no better than Judas. So is there anything in your life right now that you're doing and you can tell you continually betraying Christ every single day with these idols? If it's lying, if it's stealing, whatever the case may be, or being deceitful, Are those things worth being there with Judas in eternity? Is it worth it? If we truly love Christ, we don't give in to sin. We don't please our egos. We don't please the recognition that we want from others. We follow Christ in all things that we do. May we trust Christ forever and not betray him. Continue following him for the rest of our days. And as I am right here again, how can we be helped through this? It's the local church. We got the Holy Spirit first and foremost. The Holy Spirit is there to convict us and help us and comfort us. But it's the church as we live life with each other. As we live life with each other, when you guys see my shortcomings, I see your shortcomings, we encourage one another in Christ. If you're not in the church and not committed to a church, how will you know you're going down the wrong path at times? That's what the church is there. It's a safety net. It's to help you to see part of yourself that you're not seeing. So are you opening up with your brothers and sisters? Are you living life with them? Or you think you're fooling everybody? That's why we're a church. We want to be a church that bears one another's burdens. And sometimes it's going to be tough conversations. Sometimes we might need to rebuke one another. We need it, guys. That's how you bring about the purity of the church and the beauty of the church. As we push one another, encourage one another in Christ. And we do it with gracious words. We do those certain things. Let us be that church that hold each other accountable. If any of us are going astray, let us come together and pull their young brother or young sisters back in. Like that shepherd. You seeing that sheep going astray? The shepherd got a shepherd's hook, right? A rod, staff. That staff on there just look pretty. The shepherd can use that staff to keep his sheep in line, to guide them back into the flock. Are we going to trust the true shepherd to guide us and keep us in the flock? Or are we going to go out and do our own thing? Let this not be a social club, but let this be Christ's church in the midst of a dark city and a dark world. Let us be a light to the world and get the gospel to the all nations. Let that be us. Let us be us. But first, how can we take it to the nation if we still are living lives contrary to the gospel? We got to start here in our own hearts. We got to start here. If we don't start here doing it, how can we be a voice to the world? So, Lord, help us with that. Amen. Let me pray for us.